السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters and elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your coming for Jumu'ah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of guidance for all of us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your du'as. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a time, there is a sa'ah in Yawmul Jum'ah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts any dua that is made during that period, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept that period secret with himself so that we are encouraged to make dua throughout the time of Jum'ah. And as you know, the time of Jum'ah starts from Maghrib on Thursday and ends with Maghrib on Friday. So alhamdulillah, we are very much in Jum'ah, and I encourage you, make lots and lots of dua for yourselves, for your families, and especially for the Muslims wherever they might be, because wallahi, this ummah is in the need of dua. And the biggest asset that this ummah lost was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no tragedy that can possibly befall this ummah until the day of judgment, which comes even close to the tragedy of having lost the dua of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he passed away. So we have already suffered the biggest tragedy that we could ever suffer. Alhamdulillah. Anything else that comes after this can only be less than that. And the reason I'm saying that is because we live in a world today where every day we hear about tragedies that are happening on this ummah. And it is easy to get discouraged, it is easy to feel sad, it is easy to get depressed. But when that happens, if that happens, then one must remind oneself that the greatest tragedy has already happened. And alhamdulillah, we are here. So there is nothing that can happen which can equal that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy on those who are suffering, and to make it possible for those who Allah has kept like us safe, to make dua for those who are suffering from various issues in their lives. We continue with the series of khutab on the criterion on Surah Al-Asr. And I mentioned last Jum'ah about the first criterion of the winners. We spoke before that about the losers, and last Jum'ah we spoke about the winners. And as I explained to you, the four criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified, and we spoke about the first of them last Jum'ah. What was that? Illa alladhina amanu. Those who have iman. We spoke about the issue of iman. We spoke about iman in terms of its, of having it in our hearts, and we spoke about the manifestation of that iman, especially through salah. Today we come to the next one, which is wal amalu salih, the people who do good deeds. Now, what are good deeds? The issue of winners is about how they live in the world. Does their Islam show itself in their lives? Do they live as people who actually believe that one day they will meet Allah and are anxious to ensure that that meeting will be a good meeting? Do they live as people who are convinced that they will die and that their actions alone are their earning assets? Do they try to maximize these earning assets? Salah is the foundation for the rest of our life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned iman first. The effect of salah begins when we step out of the masjid. That is when the quality of our salah shows up. Does our salah, for example, enable us to speak the truth without fear? Does our salah enable us to avoid useless talk and arguments and cursing and backbiting and slandering? Does our salah help us not to cheat? Does it keep us away from wasteful expenditure and ostentation? I will let you complete the list, but ask if you are seeing the effect of salah in your life. Remember how you learned to pray. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Salah is sunnah. So ask yourself, does your salah enable you to stop destroying the sunnah in your life? And does it enable you to follow the sunnah more and more closely? Salah is sunnah. You ask for the sunnah in Surah Al-Fatiha. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Which sirat? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. The path of those who received your blessing. And who is the number one in that? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What is it called? The sunnah. We ask for the sunnah. Specifically, we make dua for the sunnah in every rakat of every salah. Then ask whether that salah and that dua in salah stays your hand when you pick up the razor in the morning to destroy the sunnah on your face. Ask yourself. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to wake up before they come to wake us up. You can fool everybody, including yourself, but you cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first criterion, Iman, is about huququllah, aqeedah and ibadah. The second criterion is all about huququl ibad. Between the two, our whole life is covered. Rights of people, rights of neighbors, employees, employers, rulers, family, friends, animals, the environment, the whole world has rights on the Muslim. And the funny thing about rights is that if there is a right, then we will be questioned about that right. So let us ask ourselves, are we fulfilling these rights? Let me share with you some of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to the rights of others, so that we can have a meter to judge ourselves by. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in a hadith which is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Allah, he does not truly believe. By Allah, he does not truly believe. By Allah, he does not truly believe." He repeated this 3 times. He said, "By Allah, he does not believe." What does it mean? By Allah, he has no iman means what? Somebody asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, who does not truly believe? Who is the one who has no iman?" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief." He whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief. Please notice, he did not say he whose Muslim neighbor is not safe. He said who? He whose neighbor. Whether the neighbor is a Muslim or a non-Muslim makes no difference. Islam does not differentiate in terms of rights of people based on religion. Nobody but nobody in the world must be harmed by a Muslim. That is who a Muslim is. Someone from whom only good emerges. Whether the neighbor is worshipping Allah or worshipping somebody else, whether the neighbor is an atheist or an agnostic, whether the neighbor is who or what, makes no difference. A Muslim must not harm his neighbor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated 3 times, and he said, he is not a Muslim. He has no iman. He does not believe. Unless his neighbor does not feel his mischief. Now, what is the way of emphasizing this more? Please tell me. In the report on Muslim Sharif, same hadith reported in Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He will not enter Jannah whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief." He will not enter Jannah. Which other place is there? The one whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief. What is the meaning of neighbor is not safe from his mischief? Park your car in front of your neighbor's drive when you go for salah. Make noise which disturbs the neighbor. Take your garbage, throw in the neighbor's yard. Do you want me to list all the ways in which we cause mischief to our neighbors without even thinking about it? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best companion in the eyes of Allah is the one who behaves best with his companions. And the best neighbor in the eyes of Allah is the one who behaves best with his neighbor. And this is in Tirmidhi. Again, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, O you who declare Islam with your tongues, but whose hearts have not been reached by faith, do not annoy the Muslims. Do not seek out their faults. For he who seeks out the faults of his brother Muslim will have his faults sought out by Allah. And when Allah seeks out someone's faults, he exposes them even if he is in the interior of his house. Bukhari and Muslim. Ask, what is our conversation about? Ask, what is our conversation about? Ask, what do we mention more? Somebody's faults or somebody's good deeds? May Allah forgive us. A person can be doing good to you 1,000 years. Let him disagree with you once, and he becomes the greatest earner of goodness in his life without working for it. Because you start donating your good deeds to that person. By doing ghiba, and if you can't find the truth, you invent it and you fabricate it and you get into slander. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in your slander and increase the one who is being slandered in the good deeds he gets from you. May Allah give you the tawfiq to make tawbah before that slandering takes you into the hot place. Seriously. See what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying about these things. He said, if you seek out the faults of a Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seek out your faults. So go hide. Go hide from Allah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, the believers who show the most perfect faith are those who have the best character. And the best of you are those who are best to their wives. Ask the women, what do they receive from us? Ask them, if they had half a chance of leaving you with honor and without a problem, whether they would still be with you. Ma'ad bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, Allah said, my love is due to those who love each other for my sake, who sit with each other for my sake, and who visit one another for my sake, who spend on each other for my sake. Allah says, my love is due on them, meaning that Allah is saying he is making it a duty on himself to say, it is my duty to love them. Who? Those who love one another for my sake. Those who sit with one another for my sake. Those who visit one another for my sake. And those who spend on each other for my sake. From Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah said, one who visits a sick person or visits a brother of his for the sake of Allah, a caller calls out saying, may you be well, and may your passage be well, and may you occupy a place in Jannah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the greatest falsehood. Do not try to find fault with each other. Do not spy on one another. Do not compete with one another. Do not envy one another. Do not be angry with one another. Do not turn away from one another. And be slaves of Allah, brothers to one another, as you have been enjoined. A Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He does him no wrong, nor does he let him down, nor does he despise him. Fear of Allah is here. Fear of Allah is here. Fear of Allah is here. And he pointed to his blessed chest. It is evil enough that a Muslim should look down on his brother. For every Muslim is sacred to one another. His blood, his honor, his property. Allah does not look at your bodies or your forms or even your actions, but he looks at your hearts. Bukhari and Muslim. Today we live in a world where we have made it a pastime. We have made it our aim in life to look down on other Muslims, to point fingers at other Muslims, to criticize other Muslims for reasons which we think are correct. We criticize someone, we say he does not pray. We criticize someone, we say he prays in a way which is not like the way I pray. We criticize someone and we say he prays without a hat. He prays with his trouser below his ankles. We criticize somebody and we say he has no beard. We criticize someone, we say he is Shia. We criticize someone, we say he is Sunni. We criticize someone, we say he is this one, he is that one. I am not saying that all of which I said is correct and that these things are not worthy of criticism. It is a fard on the Muslim man to have a beard. But it is not your job to criticize him. Make dua for him. Ask Allah to forgive him. It is the honor of the salah that your head should be covered. But it is not your job to criticize somebody whose head is not covered. It is the haqq of the Muslim that he obeys the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the ankle must be uncovered by his lower garment, not only in salah. A man comes to me in this masjid and he said to me, I prayed in a masjid and the imam said to me, your salah is not valid. So wallahi subhanallah ajeeb, the imam must be getting wahi from somewhere. He said, your salah is not valid. He said, because you have folded your trousers. So the man comes to me, he says, should I pray or should I not pray? What should I do? So I told him, number one, I explained to him why the issue of folding of sleeves and trousers. Among the Quraysh, there were people who had accepted Islam. Islam was not in their hearts, so they used to carry little idols in their sleeves. So they used to fold a sleeve and put the idol inside. And they would come to pray out of fear. And so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no folds. And I told him that if you had been following the sunnah of trouser above your ankles, then you would not need to fold. We have people who wear trousers which are not only below the ankles, they are below the heels, they are below their foot. The trouser is stepped upon when the man walks. If somebody walks into this masjid with his shoes on, will you accept it? Then how do you accept someone who walks into this masjid with his trouser which is below the soles of his feet? Because that trouser is effectively a shoe, because he's walking with that trouser on the earth and his trouser is filthy and he's walking into the masjid. How do you accept that? How does that person accept it? How can you be so filthy and dirty that you wear clothes like this where you walk everywhere and it is so dirty and filthy and you find this is fine? That's a different issue. But if somebody like that comes and if he has his trousers folded above his ankles and he's praying, is it your job to say your salah is not accepted? Did he pray to you or did he pray to Allah? This is the way we criticize. It is entirely correct on your part to explain the hadith of the importance of raising the lower garment above the ankle. You must do this. But is the way of doing it to say your salah is not accepted? Who are you? Who are you to say if somebody's salah is accepted or not accepted? Are you the Nabi? Seriously, we have to think, my brothers and sisters, this whole pretension about being Islam, Muslim and Islam doesn't work. Doesn't work. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one makes excuses to his brother, meaning that if someone did something wrong and he apologized to you, but the brother does not accept the excuse, he does not accept the apology, then that person is sinful like the one who takes an unjust tax. Ajib, somebody does wrong once, he apologizes to you, but you will not forgive him. You will hold that against him till the day of judgment. No problem, do that. Do that by all means. But see what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He said, if the man wronged you and if he comes and apologizes to you, then you must accept that apology. If you don't accept that apology, then you are the one who is unjust. And he gave the example. He said, you are like the one who has taken an unjust tax. Answerable before Allah. From Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not right for a man to abandon his brother for more than 3 days. Abandoning the brother means that you don't speak to him. You say, I'm not speaking to the person. It doesn't mean you have to call everybody every 3 days. It means that you have to If you have broken those relationships, for example, if you are not speaking to, and may Allah forgive us today, we don't speak to our own brothers and sisters, people with whom we have a blood relation. This hadith is not talking about blood relations, it's talking about any Muslim. He said, if you have broken relationship with them, and if you are not speaking to them, it is not halal for you to maintain that for more than 3 days. On the fourth day, you have to speak to that person no matter what. If the person rejects you and chucks you out, then it's not your responsibility. But you must make the effort. From Al-Miqdam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a man loves his brother, he should tell him that he loves him. Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. Now, what a beautiful religion, which is based on compassion, which is based on rahmah, which is based on love. Where did it all go? Where did it go? Today all we experience is criticism and hatred for one another. Am I exaggerating? Am I speaking the truth? What do you think? It has become a painful thing. I mean, somebody becomes a Muslim, becomes practicing Muslim. He becomes a pain in the you know what for everybody else. Whereas when people became Muslims, they were a blessing for people. They loved them. I have said this a million times. People came to Islam because they fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't come to Islam because they were convinced by theological arguments. They didn't come to Islam because they lost debates. They didn't come to Islam because somebody hammered the Islam into the head. They came to Islam because they fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came to Islam because they fell in love with the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said there are 365 gods, the people would have said, yes, ya Rasulullah, sadaqa Rasulullah. They believed in one Allah not because they saw Allah. They believed in one Allah because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there is one Allah. They believed in the Jannah and Jahannam not because they saw it, but because they believed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They believed in the day of judgment not because they saw it, but because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there is a day of judgment. They believed in Allah, in what Allah said, because it came out of the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where did it go? Where did it go? I'm not saying this to you so that you can sit and cry and get depressed. I'm saying bring it back. Bring it back into our own lives. And it will happen when we clean our hearts. It will happen when we learn to forgive one another. It will happen when we learn to open our hearts to the noor of Allah Jalla Jalalu. It will happen when we learn to love one another for the sake of Allah. The one who is lovable is lovable. The key is to love the one who is not lovable. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't be like people who have no will of their own. Who say that I will do good to the one who does good to me, I will do bad to the one who does bad to me. He said, be people with your own will. Do good to the one who does good to you and do good to the one who does evil to you. This is Islam. This is Islam. Believe me, I didn't make up this thing. I didn't make this up. This is the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by him in whose hand is my soul, a slave of Allah does not believe until he likes for his brother what he likes for himself. And that is Bukhari and Muslim. From Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who does not thank the people does not thank Allah. Ask yourself this morning, from the time you got up to the time you came here to this masjid, how many people who made a difference in your life did you thank? Ask yourself today, I'm talking about right now, today, not old memories, just now, how many people who made a difference in your life today did you thank? Your wife, your children, your driver, your cook, your bearer, your butler, your size who did your horse, the guy who cleaned your car, your children, your parents, your teachers, how many people did you thank today? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who is not thankful He said, beware of my punishment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who has not thanked the people has not thanked Allah. How many of you came to this masjid today for Jummah without thanking those people who made a difference in your life today? Make a niyyah. Make a niyyah right now that you will not pray Salatul Asr. Before Salatul Asr, you will phone, meet, whatever, and thank those people who made a difference in your life today. If you have to go home and thank your cook, go home and thank your cook. Because she or he cooked a good meal for you. Just because you give them a salary means nothing. Seriously, this is Islam. Imagine the society that you will create where you thank people. Where you meet people and you thank people. You know, one of the first things that people tell us, our culture, Indian culture, one of the first things that people tell us about the West is how everyone says thank you and everyone says sorry. Yes or no? The first thing, absolutely the first thing which hits one of us when we go to live in America or Australia or UK or wherever in the West, white man's country, is the fact that people say thank you and people say sorry. And I have had people coming to me with amazed, why is he saying that? Because he has manners which your parents never taught you. You open the door, somebody says thank you. The bus conductor, the bus driver, the taxi driver, the teller in the shop, every single person, whatever you do, they will smile at you, they will say thank you, and if anything happens, they will say sorry. We don't do that. If I get it, it's my birthright. If I don't get it, I will curse you. This is our Muslim culture. Huh? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Imagine that. These are the causes of our problems today. And I will give you the dalail from the Quran and Sunnah. I'm not giving my opinion. I never give you my opinion. Imagine the culture we'll create. Are you ready? Will you do this today? Thank everyone who made a difference in your life today before Salatul Asr. Will you do that today? Why is this inshallah? I know you didn't have lunch, but can I hear a little bit louder inshallah? Jazakumullah khair. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the merciful one, Ar-Rahman, shows mercy to those who are themselves merciful to others. So show mercy to whatever is on earth, and he who is in heaven will show mercy to you. Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. Do we want the mercy of Allah? Yes or no? Then be merciful to those who are on earth. Starting with those immediate to you in your own families. And going outwards. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, Allah is not merciful to him who is not merciful to the people. My brothers and sisters, this is not an exhaustive list of all the hadith. There are zillions more. But I narrated these to you to remind you and myself about the importance of the rights of people, fulfilling which is the essence of doing good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used deeds even to give us an indication of His mercy to us. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith narrated by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah wills good for His slave, He uses him. And they said, how does He use him? He said, He guides him to do good deeds before he dies. Hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and in Tirmidhi. Rasulullah said, when Allah wills good for His slave, He sweetens him. And they asked him, what is this sweetening? Allah, may Allah make this for all of us. Nabi said, Allah guides him to do righteous deeds before he dies, and then he takes his soul while he is in that state. Subhanallah. Huh? He guides him to tahajjud, and he takes his soul when he is in sujood in tahajjud. He guides him for hajj, and he takes his soul while he is making hajj. Imagine. He guides him to good deeds, and he takes his soul while he is doing that good deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the importance of good deeds in gaining His pleasure and reward. And there are many ayat in the Quran which speak about the importance of conduct and which show the link between conduct and our lives. Between actions and our lives. I'll just quote two for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Rum, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذقهم بعد الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون قل سيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبل كان أكثرهم مشركين. Allah said, evil has manifested itself and appeared on land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned by oppression and evil deeds. Evil has appeared. Today we complain about this fault, this problem and that problem, this war, that war, this disease which was never heard of before. Today we have this disease and that disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of this evil is a result of your deeds. It has appeared on the land and the sea because of the deeds. Bima kasabat aydin nas. What the hands of people have earned. And why? Liyuzikahum ba'dalladhi amilu la'allahum yarjun. That Allah may make them taste. Yuzikahum zayaka. Taste. A part of what they have done in order they may return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making tawbah. Taste of what is to come. If you don't repent, this hardship in life is only a zaiqa. It's only a taste of the real hardship which will come after death. May Allah protect us. Allah shows us that there is a direct link between our actions and the conditions that we find ourselves in. And that our actions are the cause of such conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah said, when they forgot the warning, we warned them again and again, but when they forgot the warning, when they ignored the warning with which they had been reminded, what did Allah do? Allah said, we opened on them the gates of every pleasant thing. Yeah? Allah did not say we caught them immediately. No, Allah said when they forgot. Allah said, don't do haram. And we continued to do haram. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the gates of all that is pleasant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not gamble. Gambling is haram. Betting on race horses is haram. Malak pet is haram. We don't go to, so what do we do? No, we still go. So what does Allah do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a complimentary seat in the box. Wow, somebody pays 5 crores for it. Shaitan makes him write the witness on the day of judgment. I paid 5 crores for this seat in the box. Decide what you're going to answer, because you will answer, believe me, wallahi. You will answer. So Allah gives you a free seat. So you can go and thumb your nose at the other fellow. You paid 5 crores, I got it for free. You know what is free when you meet Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the tawfiq to make tawbah before you die. Because when the curtain is lifted, that time will be gone. So when the warnings are given over and over, we pay no heed to that. So what does Allah do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors. Alright, have more. More money, more whatever, zing in your life. Until Allah said, until when they are lost in enjoying all of that, we grab them without warning. So that there is no time even to make tawbah. Suddenly the death comes. Suddenly death comes. How many cases have we heard? Even in the last few months of someone who just got up and died. That's it. What did he die of? He died of death. He was fine. He just died. Why? I don't know. Do you think it won't happen to me? Do you think it won't happen to you? We had our Nawab Chicha who was here, who used to do the generator. Many of you have seen him, heard him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannatul Firdaus ul Aala bi ghairi hisab. Who thought he will die? He was my age. He and I were the same age. We used to joke. And he used to give me a lot of dua. And one day I was getting into the elevator. He tells me, he stops me, he says, Ye soap tumhare piche phir rahe nahi? Zurat padi wakat ek bhi nahi rehta.
You told me. He said, "Pure phir raha na tumhare piche, sheikh ye sheikh ho bolke, zurat padi to ek bhi nahi rehta." May Allah prove him wrong. Zurat padi to hamare ko Allah hi suna, aisa bhi nahi hona. In any case, who cares? Koi rehta ki nahi rehta ki? Allah to rehta. Where is he today? He's gone. 2 weeks ago. Who knew that the man will just die like that? Perfectly good. To the extent that we knew, there was nothing wrong with him. He was perfectly fine. He used to give the adhan here, the whole building would shake. He had a big voice, mashallah. Where is he? Where do you think I will be? A day will come. A day will come. Take my word for it. A day will come when you will all come into this masjid for Jummah. And I will not be standing here. And that's not because I'm in Kuwait or I'm somewhere. I am gone from this world. And hopefully whoever is making the khutbah here will ask you to make dua, and hopefully will make dua for me, but that's it. Gone. And you will say, "Arey, ab kal tak the na? The, aaj nahi hai. Chale gaye. Poindi. Em chale?" Ha, Telangana walon ko Telugu bolna kahte. Seriously, my brothers and sisters, seriously, seriously, let us wake up. Let us wake up. We cannot live these lives like this, in absolute ghafla, absolute, you know, sleep. Like sleepwalkers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also showed us. I always like to end on an upward tone, not on a downward tone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us also the other side, which is what happens if you do make tawbah. And the door of tawbah is, no matter what you have done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "O my slave, come to me with evil deeds from the earth to the heavens, and I will meet you with mercy which is bigger than that." So no matter what you did, if you make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, insha'Allah. Because he said this in his kalam in the Quran, his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this in the hadith, there is no doubt about either of them. But the shart, the condition is we make tawbah. And don't let the shaitan tell you that you have time. We don't have time. We do not have time. We do not have time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and showed us how it changes. The people of Nuh alayhi salam, when they were in difficulties, they came to him. They said, "Make dua." He said, "فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا وَيُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا." He said to them, ask forgiveness from your Rabb. All goodness begins with tawbah. So I'm asking you, I'm doing it myself. My brothers and sisters, make tawbah right now. Make tawbah right now. Make ruju ilallah. Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say sorry. Say, "Allah, whatever I did, there's nothing I did which is bigger than your forgiveness. There's nothing I did which is bigger than your mercy. So forgive me because you are the one who forgives." Make this dua. Karenge bhai. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of you. I ask Allah to give you the tawfiq to make tawbah right now. And to accept this tawbah from you right now. Because it is his shan that when the beggar comes to him, it does not go empty handed. So we go to him as beggars because we are beggars. And we say, "Oh Allah, forgive us." Because who else will forgive us? لَا يَخْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. There is no one who forgives sins except yourself. We come to you. You told us, "Tubu إِلَى اللَّهِ." You told us, "Come to me." We come to you. Ya Allah, forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of you. And I ask you, make tawbah right now. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not change. What worked for the people of Nuh alayhi salam will work for us. So let us make tawbah and make istighfar, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your repentance and your dua. My brothers and sisters, Islam is about action. It's not about sterile belief. Islam is not merely a theology or a philosophy, but a practice which gives results as soon as it is brought into action. We understand the importance of action in worldly life. We live by that understanding. We sometimes even allow that understanding to spoil our tawakkul. When someone says, "Make dua," we say, "Dua se kya hota? Kaam bhi karna padta." I refute the first part of the statement and I accept the second part of the statement. Kaam karna padta magar kufr ki baata mat karo. Dua se kya hota nahi, dua se chhota. And when somebody says dua karo, nobody said dua, make dua only and no work. It's understood that you also work. But we understand this principle in life that if you want something, you have to work for it. Now why then do we remove or forget this principle when it comes to Islam? How do we expect iman to build and strengthen without effort? How do we expect to build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without effort? How do we expect to get khushu in salah without effort? How do we expect to get yaqeen in our hearts without effort? How do we expect to get power in our dua without effort? How do we expect to get hayatun tayyibah without effort? Who are we fooling? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, Allah taziru waziratun wizra ukhra wa an laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a wa anna sa'yahu sawfa yura thumma yujzahu al jazaa al awfa wa anna ila rabbikal muntaha. In Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no person with a burden who will bear the burden of another person. We will all carry our own load. And that man can have nothing but what he does, good or bad. It's only your action which will benefit you and me. Allaysa lil insani wa allaysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. There is nothing for man except for what he made effort for. And this is the principle on which we also have the principle usul of sawabul jariyah after we die. What we have done in our lifetime will help us going forward. And that his deeds will be seen. On the day of judgment, he will see his deeds. And that he will be recompensed with a full and best recompense on the day of judgment. And that to your Rabb is the, in the end, is the return. Reminder after reminder that one day we will meet our Rabb and we will answer for what we did and what we chose not to do. My brother and sister, I ask myself and you, so what's the action plan? What is the action plan? Do we really believe that we will die? That is the fundamental question which I believe we need to settle for ourselves. Seriously, it looks like a stupid question. It's not a stupid question. It's a very important question. That you believe that one day you will die. I remember many years ago, I was with Ghaz Bhai, with Ghaz Hussain Babu Khan Sahib on one of his tours. And he told me a story. Somebody asked him this question. They said, yeah, all this, alhamdulillah, may Allah give him hayat and may Allah give him strength and take more and more good work from him, all the charitable work that he does. So somebody asked him a question. They said, why did you start all this? When did you start all this? So aap kaam kab shuru kare? He said, one day I realized that I will die. Jab se shuru kara. He said, one day I realized that I will die. And I started everything from that day. Wallahi, that one sentence has stayed with me all these years, many years ago. I still remember and I make dua for him. That, imagine, this is as simple as that. It's no great big philosophy or some no complication. Very simple. One day I realize that I will die. When? Maybe tomorrow. So what must I do? Start changing my life. Do something which will benefit me hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to take work. So he takes work. Allah is taking work from him. May Allah strengthen him and take more and more work from him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq also to do some work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Seriously, ask yourself this question. I ask myself this question. Do I believe that I will die? If that is a fact, then this fact must become clear in my life. Otherwise, that belief, I am saying this, that is a lie. If it is a fact, then how come I am living the life that I am living? Because I am living my life as if there is no death. Everyone else will die, I will not die. That is what my life seems to show. If that is the case, then how can I say that I believe that I will die? My brothers and sisters, this is a single question I strongly, strongly recommend to you. Before the end of today, settle this for yourself. Go sit somewhere quietly and say, will I die? Do I believe that I will die? And then make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You already made tawbah. May Allah accept your tawbah. Change your life. Forget about everybody else. Don't worry about what this one will say or that one will say. Will I look good? Will I look bad? Will somebody approve, disapprove? None of that makes a whit of a difference. The only thing which makes a difference is if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves, the whole world and his wife can go to hell. Makes no difference. And if the whole world and his wife think that you are the coolest character on the face of the earth, you are made of ice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like you. If he doesn't like what you do, then that ice is going into a very hot place and it doesn't last very long there, believe me. So seriously, settle this for ourselves. And let us understand this and understand that the icing on the cake at the end of all this, if we do this, is that our lives will fill with grace and our lives will fill with happiness and our lives will fill with contentment. My brothers and sisters, this is a, you can't lose. You cannot lose. This is a no loss formula. Straighten your life, become obedient to Allah, and you have a beautiful life in this life and you have an even more beautiful life in the Akhirah. So the question is, do we want to be winners or do we want to lose? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the right choices and make those choices easy for us and to help us to do that which is pleasing to him and save us from that which is not pleasing. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.